Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 121 of our year of the Bible, looking at 1 Chronicles 7 through 9. Day 121, look at that. We've done a whole lot. the chapters from 1 Chronicles that we looked at today have a couple different clans, tribes in them that they talk about. Manasseh, Naphtali, Issachar, but the most important one there is Benjamin. Benjamin sort of is the, sort of wraps up everything. Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, is the first royal clan, if you will. Judah, because of David, becomes the, you know, the actual line of royalty. But don't forget, it starts with Saul, right? It starts with Saul, the Benjamite. It starts with Saul, who is a Benjamite. Chapter 8 gives the genealogy of Saul himself. So you see that the Benjamite group, the chronicler is most interested in Saul, because of the way that Saul ushers in, well, Saul's the first king, so Saul is the first monarch. He sort of ushers in the monarchy. Now, it's not going to come into fruition until, you know, into the full flower, until David, but nonetheless, that's why it's concentrated on. The genealogies end at the very beginning of chapter 9, and it ends like this. So what comes right before it is who? Is Saul the Benjamite? So that's the genealogy. The genealogy ends with, all Israel was listed in the genealogies recorded in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. They were taken to captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness, period, right? That's how the genealogy ends. We're naming all these people, right? All Israel. So by the way, we're sort of getting back into talking about the nation, right? As a unified Israel. Note that. All Israel was listed in the genealogies. They were taken captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. Cause, effect. There's no if, and, or but, there's no coulda, shoulda, woulda. They were taken captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness, period. There is a certain kind of finality and ending there. However, in the Hebrew scriptures, as in the Christian scriptures, in the Hebrew scriptures, every failure is an opportunity for something new. For something new by the graciousness and mercy of God, right? An end leads to a new beginning, right? A death leads to a new kind of life. And so they were taken captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness, period. Now, the first to resettle on their own property in their own towns were some Israelites, priests, Levites, and temple servants, right? So they were taken to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness, period. Now, the first to resettle on their property glosses over the entire exile, of course. But the point is, again, history isn't destiny. Like past isn't determinative. It certainly doesn't determine what God will do or whatever in the future. Anyway, so they talk about the people who came back. Okay, well, so now we're sort of rebuilding Israel, and there's a way in which this is a new kind of conquest of the land. Remember, you know, Joshua is the real sort of conquest, crossing over the Jordan, going into the promised land finally. Remember the book of Numbers. Do you remember Numbers? They do a census at the beginning and a census at the end. These are all the people who are going into the promised land. Well, there's the same kind of thing happening here. You know, this is a new beginning. God has given them the opportunity for new life. And so it's treated very much as you know, it's when these things are so long like this, it can make it kind of hard to track. But one of the things that you might note is that they're rebuilding. It's almost like they're in the camp again, you know, with the tabernacle in the middle and like all the people, all the tribes all around it. They're sort of like, they're almost like still in like wilderness mode here. Because there's a sense in which they are, right? They're sort of restarting things. And there's a lot of time spent in this section on gatekeepers and on like temple servants, gatekeepers. Why so much? In fact, we're given the exact number, 212. Why gatekeepers so important? Because the temple is where the temple or the tabernacle or whatever they're going to have is going to be where, again, where atonement is made, where sins are forgiven. We see what happens when sins are not forgiven, right? They end up in exile. So we want to make sure that the sins are being forgiven. But Israel has a problem. They keep letting foreign influences come in and adulterate their worship. They need to have a set of gatekeepers who sort of keep the main thing, right? Like keep what's important, and don't allow sort of these other things to sort of take them off track. They know what being taken off track is like. They know what it leads to. And so chapter 9 emphasizes this role of something that we haven't really, like, we didn't hear a ton about that before. I mean, we heard it sometimes listed as like one of the jobs that people have. But here it's prominent, where before it was always sort of perfunctory, like, you know, everybody's got their jobs and this is his job and this is their job. But in this one, the sort of gatekeeping is a big deal. We've got to, again, you know, keep our eyes on the prize. We've got to make sure that what is holy remains holy, and that what we need to be reverent to, we continue to do that. So, just something interesting to note. It ends with the genealogy of Saul himself, Kish the father of Saul, and then Saul the father of Jonathan. Jonathan, of course, who we'll hear about in his relationship with David, first Shepherd David, and then King David. But again, bringing us back, it's like the genealogy and the list sort of flow directly into a narrative, right? So nine chapters of genealogy, like, yeesh, like that's a lot to deal with. But the way that the chronicler does it, it's sort of, you get the genealogies and it just flows directly into what it is that's about to take place. Which is talking about Saul. So off we go with the narrative. It took all those days. Could we have done it all in one day? I don't know. Maybe. Nonetheless, Saul's going to die right away. But we'll get to that in due course. So I will leave it there for today. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day, everybody, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.